Advent is about God drawing near to humanity to save and to rescue, to reconcile the world to himself by the blood of his cross. And that little baby in the manger, he gathers into one family those who are left alone in their sins, those suffering alienation from God and estranged from one another. The imagery for our life together, the theme for this evening, the imagery, the most poignant imagery in Advent, is that new Jerusalem, God's holy Zion, where the redeemed are safely gathered around their Lord. No longer are they forsaken or left desolate in their sin. They are brought to rejoice at the marriage feast of the Lamb in this new Jerusalem. But this new Jerusalem is not a community that we create by our own will, maybe created to fight loneliness, but it is a communion, a common thing in God that is established by him who has called us to this fellowship with himself, and therefore fellowship with one another in the word of promise, the gospel. The theme for this evening is koinonia. Koinonia, common things, fellowship, or life together, can be translated any number of ways, is perhaps both the easiest of the three themes and the hardest to describe in the church. Both the easiest and the hardest. Certainly the church has fellowship and life together in Jesus. We all know this. We have been made part of his body through baptism. Jesus shares then his divine life with us. This being part of his body, fellow Christians grafted onto the root of Jesse, defines how we live together as his people. Through Jesus, then, we have fellowship not just with him, but with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit proceeds from Father and Son, the one who creates and maintains this fellowship in the church. According to 1 John, we have fellowship, koinonia, communion with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are kept in this fellowship with the Trinity by word and sacrament. Now gathered together in his name, in the name of Jesus, we hear him speak. We hear him preach his word to us. Assembled around his supper, we receive the body and blood. But that's perhaps the hardest to describe, for it is a great mystery. There, around that supper, we receive, in the most intimate kind of communion with our Lord, his life. The Lord's own life, which we share and he shares with us. From that fellowship, from that life together with Jesus, the church is strengthened and preserved to move outward into the world, carrying Jesus' life. That is the life-bestowing gospel of word and sacrament. Because of this fellowship, this life together, this koinonia in the Holy Trinity, we are all joined to Jesus. And being joined to Jesus means we share in the things that are Jesus, his titles. Thus, all of us as Christians are described as members of a priesthood, being joined to the priest. We're also called a holy nation, being joined to the true Israel. We are a people for his own possession. Indeed, we are his children. And so we are joined both vertically and horizontally together in fellowship. Horizontally here as the church on earth together, but vertically, we are in fellowship with our own Savior, and with all the angels and archangels, and indeed all the company of heaven. If you've been in my office, you might have caught behind my door, there's a picture of a Bavarian pastor from Germany, Wilhelm Luhr. Leah founded my vicarage congregation, and they gave me that picture of him. Leah wrote, "The Church of the New Testament is no longer a territorial church. It's not bound to Israel, but a church of all people, a church which has its children in all lands and gathers them from every nation. It is one flock of the one shepherd, called out of many folds. The universal," in other words, the truly Catholic, he says, "church, which flows through all time and into which all people pour." What Leah is describing for us is that we share a life together in this church which is thicker and deeper than nationality, than ethnicity, than language. We share a life together, bound together in Christ, because we share in a common redemption mediated by the one baptism instituted by our Lord. We hear and confess the same apostolic gospel, and we eat and drink the same body and blood in the sacrament of our Lord's new and eternal testament. But that is also then to say that there is no middle ground in our life together. A person is either in fellowship and participates with the true and whole Jesus, or he is not in fellowship. And as Jesus himself says, participates with demons. In St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." No middle ground. So a person who has life together with Jesus and his church cannot be joined to other religions, that is, to other gods, who are really demons. St. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons." There is only one fellowship. And this is why Christians don't pray with those who don't share in Christ, share in the same Lord and Savior. What then is this Holy Communion, which I described as a mystery? And how does Jesus himself use koinonia, fellowship, communion, to create, actually, our life together? Luther writes this, a document of 1519, he says, "For just as the bread is made out of many grains, ground and mixed together, and out of the bodies of many grains there comes the body of one bread, in which each grain loses its form and body and takes upon itself the common body of the bread. And just as the drops of wine, in losing their own form, become the body of one common wine and drink, so it is and should be with us if we use the sacrament properly." Receiving the Lord's Supper expresses unity of teaching, of confession. But not only that, it sustains our fellowship together. See, we only commune with those who confess the same Christ, both from beginning to end, Alpha to Omega. That is because your communing is a proclamation. It's a way of preaching. It is also your witness to the world. The words of institution, the verba, are not just spoken to remember what Christ did some 2,000 years ago. They are a powerful proclamation of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins. They are our Lord preaching to us and for us. So also when we gather together around this altar in fellowship and communion, we are proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. That is all to say, then, our life together, our fellowship, our communion, being bound into the new Zion, is also our witness. Also says who we are, what we believe, where our hope is. And our witness, confessing our hope and our trust, builds up amongst us our life together. The two work with each other. Now, sharing together in this fellowship, being bound together into our Lord's body, makes us then parts of his one body. That is why fellowship is more than just coffee and donuts. Fellowship is being joined into one common thing, that is Jesus. Therefore, we should care for one another, just as we would for our own body. When another Christian harms us, this member is also part of our body. And so we would not seek to destroy or harm this person, but rather build them up in love. Because Jesus, the head, forgives us, his members, so we forgive each other. Even so, this life of the body of Christ is not just for now. It's not just here, but it is throughout eternity. It is a body that spans both space and time to all those who confess his name. Indeed, all those who have gone before us, who now rest from their labors, are joined with us in this body. And yet, we miss them, don't we? We miss those who have died in the faith and yet are joined to us. We have a somewhat, maybe what we might describe as a heavenly homesickness. When our dear spouse or our family member or a friend dies in the Lord. And our lives are not just filled with death, but they're filled, while we remain sinners, with heartache, with pain, with absence, with brokenness. Yet, just as our life together in Christ Jesus is not broken by geography, we are in fellowship with fellow Christians throughout the entire world, this life together is not broken either by death. There is one church, one Mount Zion, one communion, one fortress that is our God that spans earth and heaven and transcends even sickness, pain, and death. Leah also writes, there is therefore one eternal church, part to be found here and part to be found in eternity. Here, that is on earth, it becomes smaller and smaller. But there in heaven, it becomes even larger, ever larger. For the yearning, struggling band is always being gathered into its people. From it, death shall not separate us. But death will for the first time, bring us to the complete enjoyment of love and fellowship. Koinonia. To it, all things draw us, and nothing hinders us, whatever it may be. Praise be to God. See, by God's grace, we are already part of this church. The vision of Isaiah chapter 62, this holy Zion, city not forsaken. Another way you might think of the church is that spring of living water. The church is like a long river that constantly moves from its headwaters to its ocean. Springing up on Pentecost and Calvary, The church flows through the ages like a river. And the same river and no other will flow unchangingly through the ages until that great day when it will completely empty into the famed sea of eternal blessedness. The life together is built on what our Lord does, joining us to himself, pouring us into that river to be fed into the holy hill. That is also then to say that our life together is not based upon our personal preferences or the attractions of particular personalities, but our life together is joined together in Christ Jesus, who has redeemed us by his blood, called us by his Spirit working through the gospel, incorporated us into his body with the washing of the water with the word. Jesus is the beginning and the end, the source and the end of our life together. This life began at Calvary, hidden under the cross. We live, trusting in the forgiveness of sins purchased and won there, and distributed in preaching and sacrament. It is this absolution, this washing of forgiveness, that binds us to Christ. He is our friend, indeed the friend of sinners, and glues us sinners together, one another, into a holy community, a fellowship, a communion, which is the church. We cannot create or engineer our life together. We can't make fellowship happen. It is a gift, unmerited and undeserved. Fellowship, communion, life together. This is of God's own merciful donation, so that sinners are not left utterly alone in their sin. Fellowship indeed is only jeopardized when it is grounded in anything other than forgiveness of sins given by Christ Jesus. This is why we confess in the Catechism that the Holy Spirit in this Christian church daily and richly forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. Happens in the church, in the fellowship. That is to say, for the Christian, life is one long Advent season, just 4 weeks, where we wait patiently for the final consummation, where there will be no crying, no more weeping, no more sorrow, and no more sin, nor death. Advent then teaches us how to live in this fellowship, in this church, by repentance and faith. All the while knowing that while we remain yet sinners, we cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus." For we still wait in anticipation together as a fellowship of the resurrection of our bodies to be joined into the eternal life together that is God's eternal Zion. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.